Kim wanted me to remind you, ladies, that next Sunday is the last Sunday that you can register for that retreat. So be thinking about that, and it'll be a great time if you sign up for that. Ephesians chapter 1. Beautiful scripture this morning. Wonderful promise. Father, I pray that you would bless this time now in your word, that we would discover all that you have for us, and as your people, we would enjoy all that you have for us, that we would enter in. Thank you for the blessings that you pour out upon our lives. Challenge us this morning, comfort us this morning, draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. A man by the name of Tommy Thompson was in the news last week. You may have heard about this guy. He's a famous treasure hunter. And several years ago, he had located a sunken ship with $50 million worth of gold bars and coins on it. 161 investors paid him $12.7 million to finance his expedition and to bring all that gold to the surface. Everything was great, except that Mr. Thompson split. The investors didn't get their share of the cut, and neither did his own crew. He was arrested last week after a two-year manhunt. You know, it seems like it never goes well when people seek after treasure in this world. The greed, the deception, the misery. We're going on a much safer treasure hunt in the opening verses of Ephesians, and a more lucrative one, I might add. In Ephesians chapter 1, we are discovering treasure that you and I as Christians have. We don't have to bring it up from an ocean floor. We don't have to find it or dig it up. It's ours. And it's spiritual treasure, which means it lasts forever, way more valuable than any kind of treasure here. There are several treasures that we've already discovered in our study. We've learned that as Christians, we are chosen people. I want you to think about that. You, as a Christian, are one of God's chosen people. Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. We've also discovered that we have the status of adoption in the body of Christ. When you enter the family of God, you get the status of a fully mature adult man or woman with all the privileges that carries with it in the body of Christ. We've discovered that we are accepted in the beloved. We are highly favored people. We are redeemed people. As we studied last week, all of our sins have been forgiven. We are recipients of God's grace. Our eyes have been opened to spiritual truth. We have a certain hope in a wonderful future. All of these things belong to us. This morning, I want us to consider what is perhaps the greatest treasure of all in our lives as Christians right now: the Holy Spirit. The treasure of the Holy Spirit in you. Read our text this morning. Only two verses, but packed tight with wonderful treasure. Verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 1 says, "In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you, Christian, were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Now, I want you to notice first that the entire process of salvation is found in verse 13. Verse 13 tells us exactly how a person gets saved. Read it again with me. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The whole process of salvation begins with the gospel message, the good news that the Bible presents. The gospel could be summed up very simply according to 1 Corinthians 15. Christ crucified for sins, buried, and raised to new life on the third day. That's the gospel message. And why is that good news? Because it's through that that sinners like you and I get forgiven. We are born into this world as sinners. We've all sinned. Our sin separates us from God. Our sin deserves punishment, death, condemnation. The good news is that the Bible declares if a perfect, innocent, willing substitute were willing to take our punishment, then we could be forgiven. And that's what happened. God sent his son, Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God. He went to the cross and all of our sins were placed upon him. He died in our place and he rose again the third day. And the good news is if you receive Christ, you will be forgiven. Don't overcomplicate that. Understand the beauty of the gospel message. You don't have to go through religious hoops to get saved. You don't have to sign your name on a dotted line in some church list, membership list somewhere. You put your faith in Christ Jesus, who did all of the work. And the moment you do that, you are saved. That's the gospel. And the process there is very simple. That gospel message is preached. That gospel message is heard. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. After the gospel message is preached and heard, then the listeners have the opportunity to respond, to trust, to believe in Jesus Christ. And if you do, you will be saved. If you will receive Christ this morning, if you've never done so, you will be saved for all of eternity. All of your sins will be forgiven, and you will enter into all that treasure through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches that supernatural miracles occur in a person's life when they ask Jesus to be Savior. The moment you receive Christ, the Bible says you become born again. You become a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. And another amazing miracle takes place in your life, which I want to focus in on this morning. It says at the end of verse 13, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Listen, the moment you receive Christ, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian here this morning, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to say more about what it means to be sealed in a few moments, but just first of all, keep it very simple. The moment a person receives Christ, that person receives the Holy Spirit. The moment you give your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in your life. Christian, here you are this morning, and I want you to remember this very simple truth, but profound. The Holy Spirit of God lives in you. never to leave you. We forget that. There's a lot of Christians who don't know that. There's a lot of Christians who don't understand that fully. There's a lot of Christians who forget that. There was an entire church in the city of Corinth that forgot about the Holy Spirit. Paul the Apostle wrote them a letter in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Christian, where you sit right now, your body, your life is a temple of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. And furthermore, the Holy Spirit seeks to be very active in you, through you. The Holy Spirit in you is the greatest resource in your life. He wants to do so many things in and through you. And yet it's very sad that many Christians don't have a clue about what he wants to do. There was a survey taken years ago. People in the church, in various denominations, were asked about their knowledge of the Holy Spirit. At the end of the survey, here was the conclusive statement that was made. The average church member's understanding of the Holy Spirit is so vague, it is nearly non-existent. Do you know about the Holy Spirit? Do you know what he wants to do in your life? There are several things that I want to mention about the Holy Spirit this morning, activity that he wants to have in your life. And it's such a treasure. Understand that the Holy Spirit is a helper to you. You can think of the Holy Spirit as your very own divine personal assistant. Living in you to help you in all areas of your life. Never to leave you, to help you in all circumstances. Jesus made a wonderful promise to his disciples before he ascended to heaven. He told his disciples in John chapter 14, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." He made that promise. I'm going to go to heaven, but I'm going to send you another helper, speaking of the Holy Spirit. There are two Greek words that could be translated another in English. One is the Greek word allos, which means another of the same kind, of the same quality. The other Greek word is heteros, which means another of a different kind. Let me give you a little example of how that would work. Let's say that you're super wealthy and you've got a Rolex watch, and you lend your Rolex watch to a buddy, and your buddy goes out and loses that watch. And he says, "That's okay. Tomorrow I'll bring you another watch." So the next day he comes with another watch for you, a Timex. That's heteros, another of a different quality. But if he comes with another Rolex, that's allos, of the same quality. That's the word that Jesus uses to speak of the Holy Spirit. When I leave, I'm going to send you another helper of the same exact identical quality as me. Jesus is saying, "I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit." And he will do in my absence what I would do if I were physically present with you. Walking with you through life. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be with the disciples walking the highways and byways with Jesus? In the power of the Holy Spirit, you have that right now, today. The Holy Spirit walking with you through life as a helper who'll never leave you. He'll help you through any and every circumstance. The word helper, parakletos, means the one who comes alongside to help. That word also carries with it an idea of an encouragement and comforter, the comforter who comes alongside to help, to comfort you, to encourage you. I want you also to think of the Holy Spirit as your very own divine personal instructor, tutor. He's there to teach you, you personally, spiritual truth. Jesus said in John chapter 14 again, "The helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Listen to that. You have a Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit inside of you who wants to teach you all things, spiritual truth. And of course, that means he will give you a knowledge and understanding of the written word of God. Those times when you get alone as a Christian with your Heavenly Father and you open the word, you have the still voice of the Holy Spirit teaching you, instructing you, building truth up into your life day by day. And by the way, what's really cool is he has such a great memory. And the Holy Spirit will add to your memory and bring things up to your remembrance. He will teach you the Word of God as you give him opportunity, and as you go out in life and face situations, he will remind you of spiritual truth. Do you ever hear his voice? Do you realize that he's speaking to you daily? He also wants to guide your life, to prompt your life, to lead your life. He's like your divine personal guide, directing you through life. Decisions that you make. Oh, helping you how to avoid temptation day by day. He's sort of like a divine GPS guide. I got to tell you, I absolutely love those new map apps on the phone. I am directionally challenged. My wife and I have reverse roles. You know how the guys are supposed to know where they're going? I don't. She has to get us from place to place. And don't tell me to go north or south on some road. Tell me to hang a right or a left because I don't know directions. And one of the coolest things I've been able to do is be able to plug in that direction into my phone and have this voice tell me, go 1,000 feet and hang a right. Do you understand that the Holy Spirit is on board your life every single day, wanting to lead you, steer you, warn you, look out, here comes this temptation. Let's do this. Let's pop up a memory verse. Look at this person over there. You need to go talk to them. They need to know the gospel. Go share with them. Make this decision today. It's absolutely beautiful. Holy Spirit is a treasure. The Holy Spirit also wants to empower our lives. Do you know that as Christians, that he wants to transform us? There's a process in the Bible called sanctification. After you become a Christian, you go through the sanctification process, where is the process by which God wants to make you become practically more like Jesus day by day. And the Holy Spirit works in your life to do so. Christian, the Holy Spirit wants to transform your life so that you live a life of holiness. After all, he is called the Holy Spirit. He wants to turn your life into a holy life. He's a fruit producer. Book of Galatians chapter 5 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, he wants to build your character. He wants to give you joy, peace, love, self-control, kindness. He empowers your life. He changes your life. If you will allow him to. You know, one of the most beautiful things, I love to watch when people come to Christ and how their life totally changes. I've met people who, before they became a Christian, were so angry and bitter, filled with hatred towards other people. And after they come to Christ, they become so gentle, kind, loving, able to work well with other people. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. That transforming work of the Holy Spirit whereby he produces fruit in your life. The Bible speaks about one of Paul's letters, I forget which, but it speaks about a person who, before they came to Christ, was a thief. Here's a person who, in their past, ripped off people. And then after this person got saved, not only did this person stop robbing, he got a job. And out of his job, getting money based on his own hard work, he gave to other people. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Turns a thief into somebody who becomes a giver. Total change. Empowerment. The Holy Spirit is also the one inside you, my brother and sister in Christ, who wants to produce fruit from your life. In other words, he wants to lead other people to Christ through your witness. It should be absolutely normal that other people in your life as a Christian are coming to Christ. That shouldn't be abnormal. As you are following Christ, as you are living according to him, and as you are being changed and empowered by the Holy Spirit, people will come up and ask, and then you're to give the word, you're to share the gospel and watch people get saved. Fruit from your life. I've spoken with many Christians who are afraid to share the gospel. I don't want to say anything. I don't know what to say. Remember, the Holy Spirit will give you remembrance. I have found, and I learned long ago, that when I want to share the gospel with somebody, the hardest word is usually that first word. But once you open your mouth, watch the Holy Spirit begin to speak. through you to touch another person's life for all of eternity. There's nothing better. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also desires to give his people spiritual gifts and to call them into the ministry. We're all in the ministry, just different types. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretations of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will give you a spiritual gift, a supernatural spiritual gift. And there's a whole list of them in the New Testament, ranging from preaching, from evangelism, to faith, to giving, to behind the scenes helping. And along with that gifting comes a call upon your life. There is a place for you in the body of Christ. There is a place for you in the work of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit to do so. Do you understand? This is who the Holy Spirit is. He's in you. There's so much power. There's so much wisdom available. We should be living in utter victory. Amen? I love the story about a young man who had to cross a wide river on the ice. And he was afraid that this ice might be too thin. So he began to crawl on his hand and knees in great terror. He thought he might fall through at any moment. Just as he neared the opposite shore, all exhausted, another man glided past him nonchalantly, sitting on a sled loaded with pig iron. How like some Christians. Headed for heaven, they tremble at every step, lest the divine promises break under their feet. And yet there are other Christians that glide, that fly, that soar. I want to invite you this morning to be one who soars. The Bible says we're to walk by the Holy Spirit, be filled by the Holy Spirit daily. Be listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit. He's our treasure. Now, I want you to notice a couple things about the Holy Spirit in our text. These are beautiful things. Again, at the end of verse 13, it says, you were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I think most of you know what a seal is. Not the thing you see at the zoo, not that animal. A seal, a stamp, a mark, an official seal. The seal is used to speak of a finished transaction. Even today we have these legal documents, right? And you're going through a legal process and you get all these rough drafts of these documents. But finally, when the case is settled, the final document comes and it has the official seal. It's stamped. That case is done. It's decided. Finished transaction. Christian, you have the Holy Spirit, and that is the seal of a finished transaction in your life, meaning the work of salvation is done. It's a done deal in your life. You're saved. The The process by which you are saved has been sealed by the Holy Spirit. The seal also implies ownership. It's like a brand, a trademark, like the Nike swoosh. When you see the Nike swoosh on a shirt, who made that shirt? Nike. It's part of Nike's property, which you purchase. Folks, the Holy Spirit in your life is God's trademark, his logo, his brand upon you, which means you are God's property. Never forget that. The seal also speaks of protection and security. Remember, they put a Roman seal on the tomb when they laid the body of Jesus in the tomb. And that Roman seal was supposed to protect that tomb. Obviously, it didn't work in that case, did it? But a seal is designed to protect and secure. Think about registered letters, registered mail, or in the old times when they would send something, they'd place a seal on it, and that seal could not be broken. In other words, it could only be opened by the one who sent it or the one who received it. The Holy Spirit, my brother and sister in Christ, is your seal of protection and security, guaranteeing the fact that you're going to make it to heaven. You put all of that together. The sealing of the Holy Spirit in your life means that you belong to God, you are safe and protected because you are part of a finished transaction. Beautiful. A seal also indicates authenticity. How do you know a formal document's real? By the seal. It's authentic. And here's where I need to ask you a question, and I need you to think about it. An authentic Christian has the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit in a Christian's life is evident. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Is there any awareness in your body, in your mind, in your thoughts, in your emotions at all of the Holy Spirit? Has he changed your life? Have you ever heard his voice? Are you authentic? Are you the real deal? Paul the Apostle says in Romans chapter 8, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Do you have him? The sealing of the Holy Spirit. And then look at the end of verse 14 or the beginning. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Who is the what? Guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. This guarantee, it's the Greek word arabon, and it means a down payment. It means a first installment. It means a pledge. The idea is you become a Christian, God gives you the Holy Spirit, which is only a down payment guaranteeing the rest of the inheritance. I also discovered this week, not only is that word used in a business sense, like earnest money. We hear that spoken about even by real estate agents, right? Still today, you give some earnest money towards something, and that's a promise that you're going to pay the rest. I also heard that this is a word that's still used in Greece today to speak of an engagement ring. An engagement ring. I want you to think about that. The Holy Spirit, your engagement ring. An engagement ring. What does that mean? Love. When you give that woman the engagement ring, you're making a promise. You're saying, I love you. And I'm going to follow through with this commitment. You and I, we're going to get married. There's much more to come. And it is personal. It is a loving thing. You know, I'll tell you, when Kim and I were dating, I discovered very quickly that I was in love with her. I loved Kim, and I love her today. But I determined in my mind that I was not going to tell her I loved her until I had an engagement ring to back it up. And so on that day when we got engaged, that was the first day that I told her I loved her. I said, I love you. I want you to marry me. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. And as an indication of my love and promise to you, here's an engagement ring. Wear this. That's the same truth here. God loves you so much. He sent his son to die for you. And when you give your life to Christ, he gives you the Holy Spirit, the engagement ring, guaranteeing more to come. And there is much more to come for the Christian. We are called the bride of Christ, aren't we? Bible says when Christ comes for us, first thing we do is have a wonderful feast called the wedding supper of the Lamb. The Holy Spirit inside you is that first installment. And the other way you could think of it is in this way. It's a foretaste of heaven. The Holy Spirit is a foretaste of heaven. It's the first installment. I hope that all of us as Christians have felt, I'll say that word, felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever? Have you ever had an encounter with the living God? Ever been to a worship service where the Holy Spirit's presence was so thick? You ever sensed the Holy Spirit in your own alone time with God? In a small group meeting? You ever felt the Holy Spirit use you? Work through you and in you? It's a small taste of heaven. Small taste of heaven. I love what one Bible commentator said. Imagine the sublimest, most treasured experience of the Holy Spirit we've ever had, and then realize it's only a foretaste, the tip of the tongue on the spoon of what is to come. Remember, Christian, the release in coming to Christ and knowing you were forgiven. Remember that. Remember that time when in worship you were smitten with awe. Remember the time you followed the Spirit's leading and were wonderfully used. Remember the satisfaction of finding the fruits of the Spirit surprising you with goodness where once you responded wickedly. Think of all this, then multiply it a millionfold. Here on earth, we've experienced the first dollar of a million celestial dollars. The earnest. We have the dawning of the knowledge, but then we will have the midday sun. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The guarantee. Christian, I want to close this morning by asking you to think through your life. You are a born-again Christian. Are you hearing the Spirit? Have you forgotten about the Spirit? And by the way, please understand that the Holy Spirit inside you is a person. It's the person of the Holy Spirit. It's not Obi-Wan saying to Luke, use the Force, Luke. It's not the Force. The Holy Spirit living in you is a person with personality. As such, the scripture says that you can grieve him. Did you know that you can grieve the Holy Spirit in you? You can hurt him. The Holy Spirit of God living in you, wanting to do all these exciting things in your life, and you're living a lifestyle that doesn't let him. You're ignoring him. That grieves him. The Bible says that you can also quench the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is this fire in your life that wants to set you on fire for good things. And you can do things that throw a wet blanket on what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do in your life. Have you forgotten about him? Are you grieving him? Are you ignoring him? Oh, don't ignore him. The supernatural life comes through your dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Be mindful of him every day. Let him teach you the scripture every day. Moody was a young guy, not very educated, and he did a campaign in England. And one of the elderly pastors protested this. He said, "Why do we need this Mr. Moody? He's uneducated, inexperienced. Who does he think he is anyway? Does he think he has a monopoly on the Holy Spirit?" And a younger, wiser pastor rose and responded, "No, but the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on Mr. Moody." And it was absolutely evident. Does the Holy Spirit have a monopoly on you? It will be evident. There are some here this morning who, I mean, you look at this truth and you think, man, I don't have that. I don't have the Holy Spirit. I wish I did, but I don't. You can receive the Holy Spirit right now by receiving Christ. Did you know that? Remember, the moment you receive Christ, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. The gospel message has been preached. It's been heard. Will you trust in Christ? Enter into his salvation, into all these treasures, and receive the Holy Spirit. Why don't we bow our heads and close our eyes? Father, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that first of all, as Christians, we would be reminded strongly this morning of who you are and the work that you want to do in our lives, Holy Spirit. Fill us afresh. Lord, as your people, I pray that daily, daily we would hear your voice. That we would be led by you daily. Lord, produce fruit in our lives. Make us more like you. Transform us, Lord. Lord, I pray for all your people here this morning. I pray that the gifts that you've given to each one would be revealed to them. Lord, that all of us here would know how you've gifted us and we would find our place in the work that you have called us to. I'd like to have just a few quiet moments with your head bowed and your eyes closed. Christian, I just want to invite you. Especially those of you who have kind of walked away, you haven't. I invite you right now to come back to the Lord. Surrender your life. Invite the Lord to right now take a monopoly on your life. Watch what he does. And then I'd like to pray for anyone here this morning. If you've never received Christ, right now you have the opportunity. Right now. Make it so right now. I invite you. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I invite you right now to be my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Wash all my sins away. Make me your child. And seal me right now with your Holy Spirit. And help me to follow you now all the days of my life. Let's stand together.